How are you doing today? You know, one thing that I didn't talk in the morning, I didn't tell you about how I met my wife. How many of you wonder that? Okay. I'm a Chilean, not in North America. How that happened? So this is our story. And you will live in a different way, how God works in your life. So I was preparing in the seminary, but right before I started the seminary, I prayed to God saying that I wanted to get married right after I graduated from the seminary. Funny thing, I discovered later that I was putting something in God, like my heart into God. And I don't want to say this, but I was trying to force him. You know, if you want me to be in the ministry, you have to let me get married before, right? But funny thing, it was that my fourth year at the facultad, in the seminary, sorry, that girl went as a short-term missionary trip to Chile for a year. Well, first was 2 months. Then they say you had to be a whole semester. And then they say we would like you to stay the whole year. And 2 weeks after that, the director come to her and say, why you don't stay a second year? So that was her part of the story. My part is that I saw through my window. We were staying at the seminary. I had a room that you can see the field between the school where she was working at and the seminary. So this field is where we play soccer. We play, help me with that, football, flag football. volleyball or ultimate frisbee or whatever. We get together with the teachers and we will play. But this evening, that didn't happen. So through my window, I saw a girl with a ponytail, like a blondie ponytail, and that caught my attention. It's not that she was the only blondie girl in there, but she was the one that caught my attention. I don't know why, I don't know how, just the pony. What was... There you go. Do you hear it? That was my ponytail, my old ponytail. I will say ponytail. Okay, I didn't know how to say it. It was my first time saying ponytail, and I was learning the language. And funny fact, I had two words that I knew in English that I will say to her or to another North American. It was maybe and no, or yes. Or no, or yes, or whatever, maybe. So it took us a long time to have our first date. First, for me in my life, I need to be sure of every step that I go. Right? I'm guessing that for you too, the same thing. You had to be sure that you want to take the next step. I spent a year praying. I didn't know it was going to take me that long to pray. And I spent that year to learn a couple more words than maybe, yes, or no. So all this just to know and meet her and to have our first date. Now, funny thing is, I don't know how it happened, but I ended up talking to her and she gave me... There's more in the story, of course. Of course, there happened a lot of stuff, but... all what made me fall more in love was raspberry pie that she made. Now, if you know the raspberry pie, it's so good, right? Do you know what? No? I had to invite you to my house to have some. So, after that, we pray and pray and pray, and one of the things that we were praying is our future as a whatever God want to give us. Right? I told her about my dream to be a missionary to the south in Chile. And she laughed in my face. No, not like making fun of me. It was like, yeah, sure. ABW doesn't have any missionary down there. And they won't let newlywed to get to the south. Because culture is different. Language for her was difficult. And she was just starting to learn the language, Spanish. She knew how to go to the market or how to ask for the bathroom. That is really important. If you want to know, puedo ir al baño. Can you say that? Puedo ir al baño. No? Okay. Another day. We will practice another day. But that is a phrase that you need to know. Now, after we got married, there was two couples that went to the south of Chile. That means for us, opened a big door, right? We weren't going to be the first newlyweds in the south, working with the people in the south and things like that. We were really, really excited about that. So we went, we got married, we got back to Chile as a short-term missionary, and that's how I met my wife. If you want to hear more, you can stay awake now. So after that, we went as a short term, and I worked in my green card for all this time, and it took us 4 years and 8 months to get my green card so I can be lawful citizen here in the States. Is that right? Right? Lawful? Yeah? Okay. To be legal in here. So God, every time that we were talking about what is next, he always was showing the south of Chile in our hearts. And that's what is being our prayers. That is our goal right now. And there in the south is a lot of ministry going on right now. And we want to be part of God's hand over there. We wanted to help. We wanted to help the national to be leaders. We wanted to help national to be pastors, to open churches. And I say national, even if I'm one of them, but I wanted to be the one that helped them to learn how to be disciples, a disciple. So, our heart is in make the world to explode in the south. And from the place that I show in the morning to all the way south, probably another time I can show you more. But outside there is our page on Facebook, so you can know more about us. We have the prayer cards and business card if you want to send us an email and ask us more questions. But that is our heart, to reproduce Christians in Chile, to disciples, and to guide Chileans to be leaders and to open churches, Christ-like churches. So I want to encourage you, before we go to the Word, I want to encourage you to pray for us, to pray for the ministry, to pray for all the people that is working right now, not just in Chile, in the whole world. I ask you to pray for those missionaries that are having problems everywhere, or they're having right now a service. Pray for those. Pray for the people that is listening, that need to hear about Jesus. That is our goal. That is our heart. And we love the people. We love the people in the south. So I wanted to encourage you to be praying for missions, to be praying for those that need to be listening to hearing from Jesus. And after all that condensed story about how we met and about how our hearts work together, how God is leading us to get there, I wanted you to open your Bible in Mark chapter 8. And throughout all of the history, the human history, just one truth consistently rises to the surface. No matter how advanced, how educated or civilized we are, there is just one truth that rises to the surface. We cannot free ourselves from the sin, from our life. The condition of the human heart remains the same. Let's go to Jeremiah before we touch bases and Mark. But let's go to Jeremiah 17. And maybe you memorize this verse. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So many people through the history, have this thing in their heart that is hard to understand. And I'm talking about a truth that can change your life. It changed my life. It changed Pastor's life. It changed everyone's life. It could. But this verse reminds us that the human heart is corrupt, unreliable, and beyond our own understanding. And we don't fully grasp the depth of our own brokenness. We are broke. And that is sad, right? But and Paul echoes this in Romans chapter 3, 9. Nobody's good. Nobody's good. We born sinners, and we will die sinners. Now, what is the only difference between a non-Christian and a Christian? If you may know, a Christian, they accepted that they are wrong. And as we heard so many times, that there is only one way the Christian will believe and put his hope in Jesus. Is that the only way? This is yes, this is no. Yeah, it's okay if you don't want to answer now. But Jesus is the only way. But human pretend to know this, pretend or don't want to hear it. As simple as that. As Paul says, no one is righteous, no one. There is no one that understands. No one seeks for God. No one does good, not even one. Nobody's good. And now, right now, there are roughly 8.2 billion people in this world. How many of that do you think are Christians? As far as Google told me, I don't know if I can believe all what Google say, but 2.3 billion people says that they're Christians. So what happened with that 5.9 people that either haven't heard about Jesus, haven't heard about the truth, or just don't care about the truth? Numbers become sovereign when we stop and think about them. And the question naturally follows, what are we doing with this truth? We know as a Christian that there is just one way, which is Jesus. We know as a Christian that if we don't obey God's word, what is going to happen? I will let you to answer that in your heart. Life and death are not abstract concepts. They are real. And I wanted you to know this and to realize that the truth that I come to tell you, somebody told you this time ago, long time ago. Every person will face one or the other. But before they do, they have to hear the truth. In John chapter 8, Jesus says that the true will set you free. And now with that phrase that Jesus declared in John chapter 8, we will go to Mark chapter 8. Just think about that. The truth will set you free. Chapter 8. And by now, if you don't know, by now Jesus already got baptized, right? The Lord God recognized him as the person who came to save the world. Now, the Jews were expecting somebody to free them from slavery from the Romans. We were expecting somebody that saved us from economic, from loss, money loss, or I don't have this and I don't have that. So we are not exempt from what the Jews thought, because they were thinking that they were slavery and from the Romans. But at the end, Jesus was trying to explain them something else. What was more important for the Jews was to know that they were free from the Roman Empire. What is more important for us? I'm not saying that it's your personal thought, but probably is to have the best car, the faster one that goes from 0 to 60 in a couple seconds. I mean, that's cool, right? It's cool to have it. But our, as a Christian, our prioritized phrase should be, I want to serve the Lord. I want to live a life that God wants me to live. I want to read the scriptures. Things like that. So, after Jesus chose the 12, right? Because she chose the 12 disciples. After that, he starts showing them, explaining them in parables what they had to know. Now, I don't know if you remember, but all the four gospels talks about the same thing, different views. So Jesus spent 3 years and a little bit teaching them to the disciples the truth, revealing who he was and preparing them for the mission that was ahead. So the disciples are there witnessing miracles, healings. They witness the authority of his teaching. And actually, that was one of the breaking points for the Pharisees and Sadducees when they saw that Jesus was taking away some of the members from their congregation. Isn't that something that we can see now? Like it could be happening now. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees were complaining about that, and they wanted him dead because he was taking their followers. They the disciples witnessed some demons cast out, the storm calm, and even the dead raised. Now, what is funny is that they live by themselves. The storm. Do you remember what happened when they were in that boat and the storm started? How were they? Were they fine? They were all fishermen. They were experienced in the area. Nobody knew more than them. So they knew how to sail the boat, how to boat to ride. Well, those are different names, but they knew how to control the boat, but they couldn't be sure how to do it through this storm. So the first thing that they thought is, Jesus, can you help us? They were afraid. And after Jesus calmed the storm, and after everything happened, we have the question, do you not understand who am I? Still, you don't know who am I. And then you have when he healed a blind person. He finally healed it, and everyone was like shocked. And Jesus asked again, still you don't know who am I? Chapter 8, verse 27. Says, Jesus and his disciples went unto the village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. And then, of course, Jesus was wondering, but what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? And as we know, Peter answered really quick, saying, you are the Christ. Verse 30, Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about this. It's interesting how the Holy Spirit works in every heart, right? Now, we know what happened before in the Old Testament. We know what happened with Moses. We know what happened later with in the New Testament when John the Baptist was preaching and was the forerunner for Jesus. We know what happened, right? Haven't you heard who this guy was? Haven't you seen who this guy is? You don't know what is going to happen to him. Even later, in chapters later, he explained to the disciples what was going to happen to him. And still they didn't understand. And actually one of them says, but Jesus, I wanna drink the same cup that you are drinking from. Isn't that interesting that they still didn't understand? And maybe you are like, I don't understand this guy that has this accent, right? This Chilean accent. But I wanted to encourage you to follow him in this. Mark chapter 4. It says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. Now you remember this passage, right? And the birds came and devoured, other seeds fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up. Since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So by then in chapter 4, after this parable, they still didn't understand. And Jesus, after what I read right now, he tried to explain them what is going on. You can read it at home. But in chapter 8, this big confession, because that's how we know this passage, it was a revealing confession from Peter. And no matter how long you spend studying the Bible, no matter how long you are convicted to serve Him, you have to know one thing. that the truth is Jesus. The only way is Jesus. And today I would like to reflect on three aspects of living after the truth. Because once we have the truth, we can live in this truth eternally. And I wanted to encourage you to keep reading these passages. The first aspect is receiving the truth. So when we have received the truth, like the disciples did during this whole period of 3 years, they still didn't know how to put it in their life. I mean, first you had to hear the truth, right? How many of you heard how old I was? And how old I was? Thank you. I thought you will forget. But as truth, don't tell anybody else, okay? Don't this stay in, and yeah, you don't do that either. But when we receive the truth, somehow we have to deal with that truth. Isn't that the process of how we had to live or how we had to deal with that? So in this case, Mark was talking about, okay, he's a Christ, but still I don't know who you are. So who could tell him that he was a Christ? How he knew he is a Christ? In the account of Matthew, chapter 16, the same scenario, different person writing. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 and 17 says, Simon Peter, I was reading in Spanish, sorry about that. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So no matter who you are going to be connected to the Father. No matter who you are, or no matter where you are going to be connected to the Father as a Christian, because you have this relationship or build this relationship with Him. But the thing is, Mark was living for 3 years, 3 years with Jesus, but how he didn't know who he was until now the Father told him this truth. There is a lot of question that comes to my mind. I don't want to say that today, but just think about it. If you spend 3 hours with me and just me talking, you're going to learn a lot of what Chile is or where Chile is, how long Chile is, and things like that. And you're going to learn how to pronounce my name like Pastor did. Really good. That's no... He did it the first time. He was like, what is your last name? Pineda? I said, yeah. I don't want to get confused. You did good. So when you spend a long time with somebody, you will learn. Now, the thing is, can you live what you learn? So long ago, I was young so long ago. And I learned a lot from my pastor by his testimony. And I knew he was a pastor, of course, because they told me that he was a pastor. But I'm taking my life towards this time, this scenario. How I will feel if he asked me that question and I say, "I don't have idea who you are." And I spent 3 years learning from you, spending the same time than the other disciples, looking at you as the healer, the miraculous person. But I don't have idea who you are. And then all of a sudden somebody says, you are the Christ. Wait, what? You are the guy that we were waiting for? As he said in the beginning, they were expecting the Christ, like a big guy, somebody that can free them from the Roman Empire, from this slavery. But what they weren't expecting is this guy that instead to lift a sword, he lift the word. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. He came to save, to serve and save those that are lost. And Mark chapter 10 has a verse, 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Once we have this truth, we had to learn it. One thing is listening to the truth, receive it, but we had to learn it. We had to learn how to work with it. Now, as a disciple, you later will have to do the same thing. That is the idea of, to be a disciple. You will grow and make others disciples. That is the whole point of this. So if they didn't understand who Jesus was at this point of life, they wouldn't be doing what Jesus wanted them to do. So I know I read chapter 4 in Mark, the parable of the sower. And one truth that we have to receive into this is that this the seed that is planted, that is sown in the soil, is the word of God. So every time that Jesus was going around teaching, he was planting his seeds, his word. Now, I have it's not a fun fact, but it's an interesting fact. When we talk about seed planting the word of God in somebody, to who we refer? You know what I mean? So we will say, okay, God sent his son, his only begotten son, to save us. And then we try to disciple them, make them grow. And then how we will explain that word is Jesus. And the fact is this. The word that is planted, the seed, the word, is Jesus. In the beginning, chapter 1 in John, verse 1. In the beginning, do you know that verse? And the Word was God. It's interesting how to if we keep reading the Bible, we will combine them and put them all together, and they will fit perfectly good. So when the word is sown, your heart will produce whatever you're working with. If your heart is a rocky land, sorry to tell you this, but you will have to take out all the rocks from your heart and prepare the soil for the word, which is Jesus. If the seed at some point die, sorry, but you have to keep working. And the truth is that when Mark talks about who he was, I don't know how he got that. Well, Matthew told us that. But when Mark told us the truth, by then they will have to be changing their hearts, knowing that truth, knowing that the Word is Jesus, knowing that He is the healer, He is a miraculous person, He is the one that can defeat death. He's the only way. Okay, so we receive the truth. Now we try to deal with the truth. The second aspect we try to deal with the truth is to put that truth in our life and to give testimony to others. Or how you're going to be growing if you're not dealing with that truth. So, as I said before, the only difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that we believe and we trust and we put our hope in Jesus Christ, right? So how you deal with that? How you deal with the truth that Jesus is the truth? And when Jesus mentioned this to the disciples to not share with anybody, He was really strict. It was because they still didn't know exactly who He was, who Jesus was. And before they shared, they had to learn and live with that truth. Otherwise, how you will be able to teach? I don't know if you thought about it, but if you go to seminary and just pass every class as the best one, but you don't have in your heart what you learn, how you are going to give to others what you learn? If you went to school, the same thing. If you don't leave it. For math, you have to practice a lot, right? To teach it. For history, for geography, or for whatever, you have to learn, leave it, you have to practice, you have to show others and practice the same with the Word. And better yet, this is the only way. So we receive the Word, we receive the truth, we deal with the truth, and the last aspect, we share the truth. This is the key for a living after the truth. Once you receive the truth, when you deal with the truth and you share the truth, that is a life, an eternal life. And that truth, that is Jesus Christ. You will think, will they get it yet when Jesus died? Or when before Jesus was crucified? Peter says, I will never deny your name. I will never deny that I was your disciple. And what is the first thing that he did? I don't know. I'm not one of them. He denied 3 times. Well, I don't blame him. He was scared. But the truth is, if they were understand before, they will give their life before that happened towards Jesus. Wasn't Mark the one that cut the ear trying to defend Jesus before he got arrested? John Marcus, I think it is in English. And after that, we have a great example of how the disciples lived the truth. After Jesus' resurrection, Jesus told them to go and proclaim the truth revealed to them. And he promised the Holy Spirit power for his, for this mission. And now the excellent example is Peter in chapter 2 in Acts, when Peter started to preach. And there goes the verse that I mentioned in the morning. When they start adding and adding, it was because he was preaching the truth. They live it. They understand it. And when Jesus arrived, they knew exactly what they had to do. He brings thousands to the truth. Now, let's put this more towards us. I know we can preach to others, we can tell the truth to others, right? We can tell thousands, probably, I don't know how many, depending how many are watching us. But what kind of soil are you? The one that produces nothing? The one that get lost in the world? Or the one that produces 60-fold, 100-fold? In this case, 1,000. Which one are you? Mark, tell us the truth. Told us the truth. He was a Christ. And by this truth, they were living. Are you living because of this truth? And this is a question for you. Are you living because of this truth? Okay, if you are just coming to church because your parents did a couple of years ago, and probably you never heard about, or nobody talked to you direct about you need Jesus. Probably now, or tomorrow, or yesterday was the time. If you were the sower who has the truth in your hand and start to spread the truth as the sower did with the seeds, you have to understand this, no matter how you share the truth, God is who will work with them to be the good soil. And like it says in Mark, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. Mark didn't know exactly what he was chose. Any of the other 11 was sure why they were chosen by Jesus. And Jesus had a plan. He chose the 12 for a reason. And it's to share this truth. He has spent 3 years of discipling them, teaching them how they should live. To share the truth means bearing fruit in words, action, and witness. Evangelism is not just about telling people facts about Jesus, but showing them through transformed lives that He truly is the Christ. It's not just the word. It's your life too. Show people how you change. Show people how Jesus Christ is in your life, how He changed you. Living after the truth means we cannot keep it to ourselves. So the three aspects, it should be in our life already with every truth. But this truth is better than the other one. To receive the truth means to let God's word enter not just in our ears, but our hearts. It means responding in faith, not just agreeing with an idea. Am I a good soil? Are you a good soil? Are you God told to live with the truth? You have to be willing to receive the truth, and this has to be in an honest decision. Honest decision in your heart. And this is my conclusion. Living after the truth means receiving it, dealing with it, and sharing it. Mark shared the truth. The sower is sowing the seed, which is the truth. We as a Christian, what we should be doing is to sow the truth in other hearts. And this is my encouragement for you. Well, first, we are not Peter. I'm Daniel. I don't think I'm going to be, I don't know about that, but I'm not sure that I'm going to be preaching to 5,000 people, but whatever I can do, and the Lord allow me to do, I will do. And you can do the same. If Danny can, you can. Right? If I am a sinner and you are too, you can do it. You can show your testimony how Jesus changed your life. Pray a lot. Pray because there are millions, billions of people that need to hear about this truth, which is the gospel. Pray for those that are working towards this, called missionaries. Pray for those that are working in places that are not admitted as missionaries, that they have to be smart and go with a job inside and many times hide. Pray for them. Pray for yourself. You never know when God will choose you. You will say, oh, I'm too young for this. Oh, I'm too busy. I'm too old. Well, those are excuses that the world put on us. We can serve the Lord in any kind of ministry. So pray for yourself too. Either partner with people like us, praying for us. Pray for us as a missionary. Or be ready to be sent. You never know when that could happen. Emily never knew that she was going to be a missionary's wife. Or missionary too. Or however you want to call it. She never knew that. And she didn't know that she was going to marry a Chilean either. Her passion that time was to just do what God told her to do, which she was teaching at that time. So you never know when God will choose you. So pray for yourself too. And be ready. Let us ask God to let you be faithful in God's mission, whether by praying, going, or supporting, so that others may also live after the truth. The whole world needs to hear about Jesus. We are going to start in Rio Bueno. I mean, there is thousands of missionaries everywhere. But we, our heart is in the south. Pray for that people too. And this call for you too. I mean, I know I said too many things. Probably you will forget outside of the door. Let God be God in your life. And I will repeat that and then I'm going to be done. Let God be God in your life. Just think about it. Let God be God in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are before you, Lord, thinking about the truth that you gave us a long time ago for some. Lord, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful for the true church. And we are thankful for people that are ready to go, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you can help us to move forward in your ministry. We, Lord, pray for the church. There is no a tiny church. There is no such a thing. Help us to understand that whatever we do, Lord, is for you. Bigger or small is for you, Lord. And help us to understand that the only thing that we can do is to serve you and to praise your name. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you can help us to keep learning, to keep living the truth. Help us to keep building this relationship with you. And help us to understand that our life without you is not life, it's death. I pray for our life, for our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.